What's up, dude? Welcome to episode 2.75, The Mop. Before we get started into the show, I just want to say a quick thank you. The amount of ratings, five-star reviews we've received from the Ebates episode to now, we almost doubled. It's been helping out our podcast a lot. So we just want to say thank you guys so much for all the positivity and the reviews, because again, it does help out a lot. Now, Bonzer, can you please stop FaceTiming me at 7 a.m?
It was probably, I think it was like 10:30, if we're being honest.
But I truly was in the shower.
Yeah, I mean, but you should have been showered by 8 a.m.
No.
We're trying to grow a podcast here. I can't have you waking up at 11:30, 12. The day
what
rolls.
What time do you go to bed?
When the stock's open, you should be up.
What time do you go to bed?
I go to bed at probably midnight.
All right, I'm going to bed at like 2 a.m. So we're like on a two-hour different schedule.
You only need 7 hours of sleep.
Is that what you're getting right now? Like you're waking up at 7 a.m.?
I wake up like 3 a.m. I take a piss. I look at Twitter. I put some tweets in drafts. And then I try to go back to sleep. And I wake up at 7 or 8.
You're a big drafts guy?
Sometimes. Yeah, usually when I have an idea, I'll put something in my drafts if I think it'll hit.
Yeah.
And then half the time it's a dumb tweet and I'll wake up and be like, yeah, that was shitty. What am I thinking?
All right. That's fair. But me, I sleep completely through the night. Like you wake up. So you really get like two naps.
Basically. Yeah. Two long naps, 2-3-4 hour naps.
Yeah. See, like I sleep 8 hours straight and I sleep like a rock. So I'm not waking up to a FaceTime call from Bonzer at 10 a.m. to say,
just trying to grow the brand, you know? So what do we got today?
Dude, we got the mop.
Fucking mop, dude. He has grown. So when I first started watching this college game time, I was intrigued by him right away. Just the rivalry with him and Smitty, the underdog mentality. Everybody roots for an underdog. Everybody roots for somebody who's, you know, different. And the mop, like, exemplifies that. Being from Montana, his Twitter videos, the horseback videos, the Gronk video, the Brady and Gronk video, the... You know, we ain't going anywhere. You remember that?
Yeah, that was classic.
When they won the championship, one of their six.
Mm-hmm.
This kid was everywhere, all over Twitter. And you had a firsthand view of it.
Before we talk about the mop, did the Patriots lose twice in the Super Bowl to Eli Manning?
You're breaking up. I can't really hear you that well. We should probably restart.
Yeah, let's restart over from here. But one thing I will say about the mop, whether you love him, whether you hate him, whether you don't agree with his quote-unquote Bill Belichick-like coaching style, if you want to call it that, or reading the rules that in-depth, the kid produces content, and he executes on it so well. Like, his videos are great. His ideas are great. It's never so much over the top. Maybe when he dropped his pants after he won one game, and I think it was the semis, that was a bit strange. I didn't know what quite was going on there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, this kid is the definition of electric.
He is. And he's also, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's the first outside member of Barstool to get a hooligan offer.
Yeah.
Right? Is.
Yeah.
I mean, the hooligans has been a thing since what, March or April?
Mm-hmm.
Tryouts every week. And he's the first person to actually, you know, get an offer. And I think a lot of that is, Smitty has said a million times, it's not how good of a gamer you are. It's content. You know what I mean? It's a content business. Barstool is a content business. And I haven't seen anybody so far. There's been a few people, but I think he is one of the better ones for sure that, you know, puts asses in seats.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at like roughly his Twitter numbers, and we'll get more into this with him when he's actually on the show, is I think he went from roughly 250 Twitter followers. So now he's like almost at 2,000. And people love his content, his tweets, his videos. It's just funny. It's content. It's good. It gets the people going. He's the first person to get a hooligan's offer and then also get that offer revoked within 24 hours, which has got to be a record-breaking deal. But I'm excited to see what his path is going to be like to get that offer back on the board.
So we had a great interview with Ebates. Great insights on competitive Warzone. You know, not just a feud with the mop, but I mean, Ebates is an all-around good dude. If I was his age, I would have taken that a lot harder than he is.
You would have taken it that at your age right now, at 40. You would have taken it the same way.
Yeah, you're probably right now that I think of it.
Like, let's be honest. If you came in second place in a national championship of 64 teams to a team reverse boosting, you're not going to be, you're not going to be as calm as Ebates was on this podcast.
No shot. I mean, I would have went for the throat.
Yeah.
I know flights are scarce to Montana, but I would have been JetBlue. I would have been browsing the internet for discounted rates to Montana. Yeah. So Ebates took it great. Now we get to see, you know, Trevor or the Mop side of the story. And Ebates said the feud's not done. He's going to, he'll remember, you know, he remembers what happened. So
right.
I'm curious to see what the Mop side of the story was. Was it intentional? Did they know what they were doing?
Right.
You know, his background and just kind of start from scratch and get, you know, what's next for the Mop. Right. I'm curious to see what he has.
And just like Bond says, before we get Trevor onto the podcast shortly, I do want to give a quick shout out to Ebates because the way he handled this could not have been better. And I've heard that from, obviously, when I'm talking with Bonzer, you know, off air, but also just everyone has felt the same way. Like Ebates handled this as well as he possibly could. And I know a lot of people who in his shoes would not have. So great on Ebates for having a good head on his shoulders. But without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get the Mop in here. And now I'm sitting here virtually, but in reality, 2,100 miles away from the man himself. He's an economist. Montanan. Bills Mafia, competitive Call of Duty player, 4 times XB Sports MVP of the week, and a national champion, Trevor Funseth, the Mop. How you doing, brother?
Thank you. That's a very accurate description.
It's almost like I read your Twitter bio, yeah, right?
Perfect.
Who would have thought? Thank you for coming on the show. I know it's probably been an insane 5 days for you, 4 days for you. This feels like it's been going on for close to like a couple weeks to a month now. It's been so long.
It's been an insane 2.5 months for me, honestly.
I mean, I could imagine. And Bonzer and I were talking about this previously in the show where I think when you started this tournament, you were at what, like 200 Twitter followers, kind of just like, you know, not producing content like anything crazy, just kind of like a normal kid, Bills Mafia fan, competitive Call of Duty player, if you will. And now you're the fucking Mop, bro.
I had actually no intent to be in content or anything. I barely tweeted. I never streamed. Competitive Call of Duty player is a new addition to the bio because this is my first competitive Call of Duty playing.
That was one of my questions too. It was kind of like, how did you get started in gaming? You know what I mean? How did you get to be the Viceroy of Montana State? Like how did that all start?
Yeah. I mean, I've gamed forever. I've just never actually competed. I love watching normal Call of Duty competitive, you know, like 4v4 stuff. Right.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I became the Viceroy beginning of the school year before this one. Just there was a spot open and I applied for it because I thought it would be fun. Didn't even really think of it as a way to work at Barstool because I knew I was going to be going to law school. So Barstool really wasn't even in the plans. But things have just kind of unfolded this way and here I am.
So for those of us who don't know quite what a Viceroy is, I'll be honest, when I first met with Logan, who's a producer behind the scenes of Game Time and a lot of other things at Barstool, he kept telling me that, you know, the Viceroy program. I sat in the meeting and I just nodded like I knew what he was talking about. I had absolutely no idea what a Viceroy was. I've never honestly even heard of the word. Like, can you explain what that role entails? And I know you said you applied, but like how, like what's the process there and what does it actually entail?
Yeah, they have one for every major to semi-major college in the country, and you handle their social medias. I guess you would just call it an unpaid internship for Barstool. You're not like directly employed by them or anything, but you are directly affiliated with them. And you do social media for your school, which is all just, you know, funny stuff, tweeting about the school football, sports teams, whatever it is. It's not a super intensive role, but...
But it is creating content, managing content. I know you had mentioned law school, but what kind of made you think like, hey, I want to dabble into the content world. And like, how did you get into that? And with Barstool in general, like, how did you hear about them from Montana?
I think it was the Barstool sports advisors that really started pulling me in. And that's still the best thing that they produce. It's the best show on the internet. And so I started becoming a fan, watching more and more of their stuff. And I just saw this thing. It said looking for Montana State Viceroy, and it was kind of just a why not.
And when you applied for it, were you senior year? Because I know you're currently in graduate school, correct?
Yeah, I was old already. I was a senior, so I've been doing that. And then at the beginning of this year, I brought in somebody who hasn't graduated yet. So he does like the day-to-day posting and I handle the bigger stuff.
Oh, you got a team under you. Look at you, Mop.
That's right.
Look at you, man. And as we mentioned before, you know, we recorded, you know, this segment of the show is, well, you love him or you hate him, you produce on your content. And it's electric and it's funny and it's well executed every time. I was saying the one thing that I thought was borderline was you taking off your pants on stream, because I was me and Smitty in the booth were like, what is going on right now? But were they boxers? Was it boxing shorts? Like, they were boxers, right? But
yeah,
I mean, to your credit, bro, you don't miss on your content. Even the video of you in the hot tub. Now, I wasn't a fan of you calling Ebates a sore loser, because he handled, I think, from the podcast point of view, from his mentality, he handled it very well and mature. But I just thought it was good content kind of overall there. So shout out to you and the team. Is it mainly your ideas? Like, who's coming up with these ideas?
Well, thanks for saying that. It's pretty much all me. I put a ton of thought into things. Every video I've made, I have sent to 4 to 5 people saying, like, is this good enough? Because I will not put something out if it's cheesy or whatever.
Right.
I'd rather put out nothing than put out something that's not quality. You know, so I do put a lot of thought in, and every week I have a notepad where I would kind of make plans for how am I going to be entertaining on the stream, any ideas that I have, what are we going to do with Charles, things like that.
Charles.
In terms of Ebates, kind of all for the show. I wish I had listened to his response so I knew more what he said. So I'm hearing he was cool about it, which is cool. He did, when he talked to me directly, he did just call me a cheater to my face. So I didn't expect he would be being cool about it. He was not very kind to me directly, but I should listen to that episode.
So I was actually like talking with Ebates a lot, like privately from the time of him finding out of the reverse boosting to the point of Smitty rescinding the offer and putting an asterisk next to the national championship. And to his credit, I think he handled it a lot of ways. For I know, you know, I probably would. I think Bonzer would, right? When you're competing, especially, right? And well, I really want to get into like the whole reverse boosting, whatever was going on a little bit later, but I would have not handled it well, because to me, it's a little bit of like an unwritten rule. It's known throughout competitions that it's not right. But Ebates was very worried originally that nothing would get done and that you would be protected at all costs, which was simply not the case, right? It came out, the offer was rescinded. You have to now earn your spot back on the Hooligans. And there's an asterisk next to the national championship for the fact that in reality, you did not break any written rules. When I was speaking with Ebates and he saw everything, how it unfolded, he was actually pleasantly surprised and he thought it was handled in the best possible way. So whereas I understand he probably called you a cheater legitimately, what, an hour or two after the tournament ended?
Yeah. And no, then, immediately the next morning, but yeah, pretty quickly.
Right. And then I think through the rest of the day was, and Bonzer, what was his direct quote? Ebates on the show, like, I'll forgive and I won't forget.
Yeah, something along the lines of forgive but won't forget.
Yeah, it was something simple. The one good thing for you, Trevor, if they run this whole tournament back, Ebates graduated. He graduated on Saturday yesterday, so he will not be representing Grand Canyon. So they will be moving on.
That's not a good thing for me. I'd love to face him again in the tournament and beat him again. And I think going forward, he and I have sent a couple more messages to each other, and they're not friendly, but I think we're going to be on good terms, and I actually think that there can be good content made between me and him.
Yeah.
You know, you can play that rivalry out in the future.
Definitely. Yeah,
I definitely agree. I would like to see them do like some custom match, whether it's like a Grand Canyon, Montana State rematch or something along those lines there. And before we get into like the whole allegations and everything, how did you choose Gracious and Kamada to be your teammates? And what was the formation of the Montana State team?
I did know them prior, but we put out on the Barstool MSU social medias applications where basically the only question was to put in your Call of Duty name. We'd look at your KD, and they had the highest KDs, so that's what we went with.
Nice.
There was only like 6 or 7 applicants, but turned out to be a really good team.
Yeah, I would imagine there's not a lot of gamers out there in Montana, right?
Yeah, it was slim pickings.
Yeah, no, I respect that. And at what point did the reverse boosting start? Whose idea was it?
Round of 16, I'm pretty positive, was the first week that happened. And I don't know exactly whose idea it was. That was about a month ago. But yeah, the crazy thing is, again, like, we were so oblivious that we were open about it. I remember a conversation on stream when we were facing UNC, and someone in the chat said, like, how do you prepare? And I said, well, we do this, we practice, blah, blah, blah. And also today we tried losing before the tournament to see if we could get easier lobbies. And we were playing chess, not checkers.
So I was talking to Emrags about this, and I do believe you that you guys were oblivious. And the reason I do is because it's so easy to track on KD Tracker. It's publicly available, all three of your teammates. So if you had known, like, hey, we're going to get banned for this, I mean, that's so easy to track. Right. Somebody, it would have came up where, hey, they've died 15 times in a row before their matchups. So that's kind of where I do take your side a little bit. And I do think that there might not have been any, you know, illegal intent in your team's eyes.
Yeah, there really wasn't. It obviously would have been easy to get caught if we knew it was against the rules. And, you know, the way I think of it is, and props to Barstool for all of this, but a lot of people are telling me it's sort of an unwritten rule that you should know if you're competing in Warzone stuff. And I'm like, well, that's great if you're having a tournament with a bunch of Warzone players and Warzone pros. But coming into this, you know, Barstool kind of knew these are college kids, these are Viceroys. I would bet over half, probably more, of the players in this tournament have never played in a Warzone tournament. So when you have a bunch of new players, you can't have unwritten rules. You know what I mean? You can't have implied rules to people that have never experienced anything like this.
I definitely see that point as well, but I would also make the argument that if, say, for example, this was a basketball tournament, right? And, you know, I would say majority of people have played basketball or watched basketball, right? You would know a premise of the rules. But if you were going into a competition, wouldn't you try to know, like, it's not obvious, maybe to someone, an outsider like yourselves and your team, but if we're going to go play 1v1 basketball outside of game 21, do I have to explicitly say to you, like, hey, don't elbow me in the face, don't tackle me as I'm going for a loose ball, right? Like, there's some stuff that's understood. And I think the point is, could anyone have done it? Yes, but every Call of Duty player knows that, like, this is not allowed, simply.
You're possibly right. You're probably right. I certainly don't think that every Call of Duty player knows it's not allowed, because I've had dozens of people say, what even is this? Like, I've never even heard of this. So I don't think this is, like, common knowledge that anybody who's ever played Warzone is going to know this.
That's fair.
So your two teammates, I know KD-wise, I think it was like 2.5, 2.1. Is that around the ballpark?
I think so, yeah.
So they're better than average by a good amount. I would say an average KD across the is one, maybe one. One. So 2.5. Have they competed in Warzone tournaments? I just feel like those two may have known, like, hey, this is a little sketchy.
Or even watched, right? Like, there's a lot of Warzone Wednesday tournaments. Nick Merckx had his gauntlet. Yeah, like, exactly. There's been a lot of tournaments out there.
As far as I'm aware, they've never competed. And they never said anything to me. Like, they thought it was against the rules. And also, I think they're both very good guys and I trust them. So I'm not going to suggest that they knew something was up.
Sure. Right. And I have played with them as well. They are good guys. And you guys are good people. It's just really tough for me to wrap my head around the fact that, And I understand your point of view too. That's where I'm struggling a lot. But the second I found out about the allegations, I was pissed. I'll be brutal. I was so mad that I couldn't believe it, because it truly felt like I was lied to. Because let's be honest, like, Trevor, you were like America's team. I dubbed you America's team. And then to go and, like, break my heart like that, I was like, damn, yo, this kid is like playing. He's like a grandmaster and I'm over here playing checkers simply, which is, it's impressive, right? I can't blame you at all. Can you walk me through those 24 hours between winning the national championship and the allegations coming out?
Super hectic. And yeah, it seems like people that are in the competitive Warzone community, like, this is baffling to them. And people that aren't in it, it doesn't really matter to them, which kind of makes sense. Again, I'll make a little analogy here.
Sure.
For people that are saying, like, you know, the common thing was, this would get you banned in any other tournament ever. And I'm like, well, that's fine. But let's look at college football. If you make a catch. You get 1 foot inbounds. That's all you need.
Right.
Well, nobody's going to say, hey, we're not going to allow that because in the NFL, you have to get 2 feet down. That's the rule in the other big league. I'm like, well, I care about the league I'm playing in right now. I care about the rule set I'm playing in right now and the rules that I was told to play by. So immediately following the tournament, everything that night was super positive. Any idea I had the next day was a message from Ebate, like noon my time.
Right.
And it just straight up said cheater. And I was like, what? And then I didn't respond to him. But then I got a message from Chase OG explaining what Ebates was accusing me of. And so I responded to Chase and Ebates saying, like, this wasn't against the rules, what I've said the whole time. And then from there, I got phone calls from Barstool, told my side of the story. And they actually, credit to Barstool, were super cool with me the whole time. And they were absolutely right. And they said, this is going to be awesome for content. And that's proven to be very true with how well all the videos and stuff have done. So I kind of talked through with Barstool how they were going to go about it. They said what they were going to say. I told them kind of how I would respond. We went from there. So yeah, I did talk to a couple people, including MRegs, Smitty, Logan, that said, listen, today, so I guess that was Thursday,
right,
is going to be like just awful for you. And it was. But then by the next day, when I got my response out, things have turned basically completely positive again, with the exception of like the same 10 people that respond to everything I tweet. But besides that, people are cool with it. They're either on like, people are now either completely on my side where they're like, he didn't cheat, the mop's the king, he's awesome. Mm-hmm. Or at least they're somewhat on my side where they're like, eh, Barstool should have written better rules, good for him.
And, yeah. and that's part of it too, is truthfully, it wasn't in the rules. And that's where I'm so torn, right? Because Chase OG and Ebates, both veteran, like, if you want to call them veteran competitive COD players, where Ebates is a mod for Super Evan who competes in these tournaments year round. So, and even myself, like, I never read the rules. I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know rules were like established and sent out to all the teams. So I just thought it was something that was always not even allowed in the tournament, but again, unwritten, but unwritten to someone who lives, breathes Call of Duty Warzone competing. Bonzer right. And I have played in like 50 tournaments each, and we know that. So that's where, again, it's really tough for me to say. And it was a crazy 24 hours from my point of view, from your point of view, from Smitty's, the team, and everyone's. But when you announced your response and people looked into it further, like, this actually wasn't against the rules, I think you got a lot of people that were like, damn, this kid knew what he was doing.
Yeah. You kind of doubled down, you know?
Yeah.
You could have taken two sides. You could have admitted, hey, I cheated, you know, I messed up. Or you could take the side you did, kind of villainous approach, and just kind of double down and say, hey, you guys weren't as prepared as we were. We outsmarted you. We outkilled you.
I discussed that with my guys at Barstool, and they said, listen, you're going to be the guy that a lot of people love and some love to hate. Mm-hmm. But I didn't say, and I still wouldn't say, yeah, I cheated. I still stand by that we did what we did within the rules. And if there was another tournament where they said this is against the rules, then I would play and I would not break the rules. I wouldn't do it.
Right.
You know, I am a fair player.
I wonder how much of it is, since you are, you know, big for content for Barstool, if you were somebody like Ebates, Chase OG, that wasn't as big for content, but you were reverse boosting, would they have kind of taken that belt away? I know we'll never know the answer to that, but I'm kind of curious to how much of that is.
That's tough to know. And I think, you know, they were worried when this reverse boosting thing comes out. They're like, oh, this is going to make our entire tournament look like a sham. But they are also thinking, well, if you get rid of our championship, you vacate the title. That also makes the tournament look like a sham. So they were worried, I think,
yeah,
if you just completely disqualify us or whatever, you're gonna piss a lot of people off and make people think that it was just kind of a scam to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong about that. And even to your credit, the videos, the content you made, the persona of the mop really did draw in a lot of viewers. For example, a lot of my friends, it was funny because a lot of people were asking me, like, is this mop kid actually nasty at Warzone? And to my credit, I was like, he's not nasty, but he is the funniest kid and he gets the job done at the end of the day. And to your credit too, right? You can say whatever you want about reverse boosting. there was about 3 weeks in a row, maybe it was 2 or 3 weeks in a row, where it came down to the last game for you guys. And you clutched up every single one of those games, which was really impressive to watch, to be completely honest with you. And when you're looking at the rules, that's why using the word cheating is such a slippery slope, because the definition is if you were breaking a rule and technically you were not. So that's why I guess I'm okay with the asterisk next to the name, but I would love to run it back one day and just see how you guys would actually do. So if this was ran back, right, and there was no reverse boosting, do you guys make it out of the Sweet 16 or the Sweaty 16?
So, yeah, by the way, I agree with you. I'm really not that good at the game. I should not be a competitor in the game. Brayden and Kyler are both good enough to compete in it. I'm good enough to play for fun, but not good enough to compete. But I do stand by the fact that I think we're the smartest team in the tournament strategy-wise, and I think that's what did it for us mostly. And I 100% will take to the grave. I think we win this tournament regardless of the reverse boosting. Not just past the Sweaty 16. I think we win the whole thing.
Okay.
You guys, you can reverse boost all you want. What I think it happens with reverse boosting is the first couple of games you make it easier lobbies. After those games happen, you're in regular lobbies again for the remaining hour, 2 hours. And you guys are still winning games. Like winning a trios game, reverse boosting or not, you know what I mean? Yep. It's pretty tough. If you're the weakest link, you can't be that bad. You have to slay out as a third if you're the weakest link. You still have to play as a team and win those gunfights end game.
Bonds, this is where I'm going to push back on you a little bit here.
Yeah.
We had an extreme example of reverse boosting in the fact that the finals were set when a new, brand new season where everyone's rank was reset was launched back into the game. So Montana State had their biggest points game by probably close to 20 points, right, Trevor? Probably before that, your highest game was maybe 60, 61-ish, right?
Around mid-60s.
Mid-60s. And your first game in the tournament, you guys got 56 kills and an 81-point win. And then after that point, you were put back into a normal rotation of lobbies where I think you guys pulled out one more win. But if we're being honest, the scores were low throughout the rest of the games. So I think it was almost a perfect storm of, like, your strategy worked so perfectly for the championship, simply.
I don't know. Well, for one, let's start with Infinity Ward says there is no skill-based.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But from what I've seen, it seems everybody that understands the game believes that there is. And I agree with Bonzer in that, you know, not only would you play a couple games and get put back up, but it's a three-hour tournament.
Right.
So you saw in the championship for basically the middle hour and a half, both teams were getting, we couldn't do anything, right? Us and Grand Canyon had like an hour and a half of just spawning in, getting a couple kills, dying, whatever, over and over. And then we both got a big game again. So even throughout the tournament, your skill base is dropping and rising. And I guess the difference is sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's not. And who's going to police how well you have to do before the tournament? What if we drove in before the tournament and got one kill a game? Is that good enough to not be?
Yeah. We made that point on the podcast with eBases. If you guys had dropped in and got 2 kills, 3 kills, and kind of sprinkled in a couple, you know, 1, 2, 3 kill games, I don't even think we'd be on the podcast right now talking to you. So, yeah, it's a good point. Who's going to police it? And I think skill-based, you know, the SPMM does kind of revert back to the normal average of KDs or whatever that algorithm is that we don't even know about. I will say I have broken multiple controllers due to skill-based matchmaking where I'm fighting the best players in the game and I'm just trying to have fun with my, you know, 2-1 KD friends, you know?
So for one, like MREG said, we have the clutch gene. We won every game we needed to win. We passed the other team as time expired, I think 4 times throughout this tournament, or got a victory or high game right at the end. And obviously that wouldn't still be a skill-based thing. So I think we're a great team. Also, the fact is the teams that we faced didn't perform. I think Arizona scored 121, UNC maybe in the 130s, and Grand Canyon, who was in the 180s, had a day in the 150s. And we beat them by 20. You know, so even if our 80-point game is a normal win for us, like in the low 60s, it's still right there. You know, it was not a 1-point victory over Grand Canyon.
Yeah, you're absolutely not wrong about that. And I spoke with, you know, eBates and a couple other people. you have like the mop effect where I swear to God, teams, everyone goes in right before they face you. Seton Hall, oh, this is going to be easy. This is going to be a joke. This is going to be whatever. Everyone feels the pressure of the mop and Montana State, whatever it may be. And to your credit is because I think once you beat UNC, that was like a nail in the coffin for so many people. Because up to that point, let's be honest, UNC was probably – they were third, obviously, overall in the tournament, but they were like a top two team. They were dynamite, and you guys won, and you moved on and advanced, and then people really were like, wait, this kid, the mop, is more than just a hairstyle.
Yeah, I think UNC was the second best after Notre Dame, and we must have just beat them mentally. And then Arizona rage quit, if you remember that. Like, yeah. After 2.5 hours, they just turned their stuff off. They were done. Seton Hall left and wouldn't do an interview. So there was something about getting into people's heads. The last example I have quickly about why I still think we would win without it is the night before the grand championship, we played in the Liddy Cup.
Yep.
That Dat Boy Matt did no reverse boosting beforehand. And that was a 2-hour tournament. And if three games had been kept, our score would have been 188.
Yeah.
So I know that the three of us are very capable. We put up a 170 in the championship. I know we're very capable of that or better, regardless of the lobbies we're in, because we did it the night before.
You actually make a lot of sense there, because you even played in my tournament and you guys placed like top three as well. And I told Smitty, I said, something about Montana State, these kids do just know how to win. And that's why I think when the allegations came up, I was so like confuzzled. I love using that word when I'm really like, whoa, what's going
on? It's not a word, but go ahead.
All I'm saying is it's a word, Bonzer. Bonzer, it's a word. I don't want to hear it. That's a debate for another time. We're not going to waste the mop's time here, okay? The Bills, he's got to celebrate and get drunk today on his Sunday to celebrate the AFC championship title. What I'm saying here, though, is you guys do know how to win, and from day one, you guys are by far the most improved team in the tournament. It's not even close, because you were, like, kind of on our radar to, like, all of a sudden it was like, wow, these kids can actually win and have the clutch factor and everything like that. And, like, to your point, you said – you practice a lot, right? Where other teams were like, oh, you know, we played two games this week. Ha ha ha. You guys truly put in the work.
Yeah, I think we're not only the most improved team. I think I would be the most improved single player. Like, I was garbage when we started because I didn't play Warzone.
Right.
And now I'm at least kind of good. I can get kills in the teens now.
You can hold your own for sure.
Kyler was cracked from the beginning. Braden went from good, and then he started using the car, and then he became a top player in the tournament. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was no joke. Like, we had more work ethic than any other team. And I really, really wanted this and grinded on both ends. So from a content and being entertaining end, I put in the work, came up with ideas, shot videos all the time. And then on the performance end, we practiced from the middle September when we signed up for the tournament through the grand championship. We would do a full 3-hour practice to simulate the tournament every single night. We missed 7 nights in 2 months of doing a full 3-hour practice. And I had this Excel spreadsheet, a giant spreadsheet where we would keep our scores for every night. And not only that, we would note what strategies we were using, right? So like if we drop super roof versus bay doors, what is the difference in our average total score?
That's wow. Fucking so incredible. That's
we
incredible.
Really did put in the work, and I wanted to win this thing. And it sucks now that I put in so much work and really wanted this and felt like I earned it through hard work, that now it's kind of, there's an asterisk by it and people kind of are going to devalue it and say that we aren't legit champions because we grinded on both ends.
I think what would help is if you guys entered a public tournament, if you guys started running some tournaments that are, you know, available on Twitter. I can DM you. I've done dozens.
Yeah. And
you
and
thought about doing that?
Yeah, I'm going to start streaming from the Barstool Montana page starting in January, and we're going to do a bunch of tournaments and stuff. I don't think I've started watching now people like Nick Merckx and the tournaments they play in. I just don't think we're on that level.
Of course.
Like, yeah. I will say, I mean, the competition in the College Gaming Championship was not the same as it is in Twitch Rivals. Sure. You know?
But there are KD Cap tournaments.
Right.
Okay.
Smaller KD cap tournaments, you know, 5-7 KD cap for trios.
Yeah.
So as long as your trio is under, you know, 7 or 6 or whatever the restrictions may be,
We'll definitely be playing, and we've also discussed doing like Cold War game battles and stuff. But
yeah,
yeah, so I do want to prove that we are good at competing, regardless of how we get there.
Yeah,
listen, I think, and I'm kind of standing by this now. This is kind of like my take is, whether you love the Mop or you hate the Mop is going to live on and do his thing. And to your credit, I know Ebates really wanted to win this, and I would put you guys together as like you both equally wanted to win it. Whereas he is a gamer and just discussing at the game, you actually took it to the next step, as you said, with the spreadsheet. That shit just blew me away. I'm not going to lie to you.
Same.
Spreadsheet
I've never
and
done
the
that.
Practice,
yeah.
Right? Absolutely blew me away. So it's almost like where you guys knew, and I think I can say this, where you knew Ebates was the better player than probably you three, right? We can kind of like make that yep. claim. You guys did take it to the next level, played within the rules, whether it's not the generally accepted rules, like, hey, this was the rules in front of you. And you put the time in and you came away with a tournament victory.
Yeah, if the spreadsheet would even say things like who got what kills, but also what guns we were using and where we're dropping,
yeah, that's crazy.
What contracts we're doing, so we know what works for us final score wise.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to tell in the game.
Sure.
And yeah, I've been, I saw Ebates challenging me to a 1v1 in the gulag, and I've been open since before we even played him. He is clearly a straight up better player. If you look at raw skill at Call of Duty, there's no questioning he is better at the game than me. I've just been firm since the beginning that we can out-strategize them and we play better as a team, which will lead us to victory, and it did. He's certainly the better player, so there's no value in me 1v1ing him because we know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
But the fact is we played as a team and we won.
Yeah, that's what matters at the end. I want to get it quickly to that Hooligans offer.
Yeah.
Hooligans has been out since March, April timeframe. They've had tryouts consistently every week. I don't think I've seen Matt MRX correct me if I'm wrong. Have we seen anyone get an offer to this Hooligans team besides
never even been as far as an offer?
Yeah. So yeah, the content was huge. So I know you got that offer kind of, you know, taken away. I'll put that in quotation marks. I don't know how much of it's, you know, true or not, whatever. We're not getting into that, but how are you going to kind of earn their trust back? Are you going to do a 24-hour stream? Do you have anything in place for the future?
Well, clearly it's mostly up to them. I have an idea for what I want to propose to them, which is we're going to do at least about 6 months of me staying at school here in Montana, streaming for them remotely. So kind of what I'm proposing to them is I'll do like a series, maybe 10, call it trials or whatever, to get back. And one of them is, you know, I got to get a win in Fortnite, which I haven't done in 3 years. You know, a series of things that you have to do on stream. Good for content. They said do a 24-hour stream with White Sox Dave, which would be
That'd
awesome
be
and miserable at the same time.
It'd be tough. You wouldn't even have to reverse boost, Trevor.
Right. It just,
every game would be reverse boosting.
Yeah. So I'm all in on this from a content side. And I'll tell you, from when they first told me, you know, about the scandal and that, you know, they're going to go post this video, I almost felt like, oh my God, Barstool is like done with me. They're going to throw me under the bus, say he's a cheater to save their name. And I was really getting kind of angry. But then when I saw the video and I talked more to them about where we're going with this, they were obviously right. They really know what they're doing when it comes to content.
Oh, 100%.
So you guys are right that this definitely is just the start of something. And my brand is bigger post-scandal than it was pre-scandal.
Right. And I think 100%. Part of it as well that Ebates realizes his brand is getting bigger now because of
Absolutely.
The Mop scandal, if you want to be honest. And he also knows that as well.
Yep.
So, listen, it's been incredible how this whole thing has worked out. I mean, dude, I've been a fan of yours since day one. We had a little bit, right, of a falling out maybe from Wednesday to Thursday. I'm back on the Mop bandwagon. I love what you did. But, hey, I respect it. At the end of the day, I absolutely respect. Before we close out here, Mop, do you want to give any, you know, final comments, maybe about the Bills, whatever you want, to let you take it away from here?
I don't want to say too much about the Bills because I don't want to get too hyped on them to have them lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Fair.
But I will say you're right about like a brief falling out with some people, and it really did mean a lot to me. The people, you, Ben and Logan and some other guys at Barstool, that, you know, everybody has tweeted publicly now, but the people that reached out to me privately and said, hey, listen, we still believe in you as a creator. We don't think you cheated intentionally. But most importantly, the people like Ben that just straight up said, hey, like, I know you're a good guy and there wasn't any malicious intent here. So, you know, don't be too down on yourself. Right. That, the people like you that did that did mean a lot. So I appreciate that.
Right. And honestly, before I spoke with you, I was like, this kid's a dirtbag. Then the second we spoke, I was like, wait, damn. Like, I'm coming from a different world where me and Bonds are competing in these tournaments at least once a week. It's a whole different thing. So I think once you get all the facts together and actually speak with someone, and you can tell, right? If I could tell immediately if you were lying to me and just trying to get me on your good side, but that obviously wasn't the case. And I think a lot of people's heads are going to be turned just from listening to this podcast. So again, Trevor, we thank you for coming on, man. You're an absolute legend. Wishing you all the best. What is next for the Mop?
Early January, I would say stay tuned to my Twitter and the Game Time Twitter. Hopefully we have some big things planned that I can't quite be specific on yet.
Could you last in New York City, Trevor? Last question.
That's a legitimate question that I've like talked to my family about, you know, because if you look down the road, you see a part-time thing right now. If that eventually becomes a full-time offer, that is a legitimate problem for me. I'm a Montana boy. The big city is a scary place and I'm not sure that I belong there, but we will cross that road when we get there.
I've been there three or four times. I'm from Boston, another big city, but I didn't see any horses in New York City when I was there. So,
right. And no wheat fields. It would just make me uncomfortable.
Yeah. There's a lot of people.
Yeah. We'll see.
A lot of people. Hey, regardless, man, Mop, wishing you the best of luck. Thank you again for joining us today. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode 2.75, The Mop. See you in the next one.